It's that time, the Betting Predators podcast, where our main objective is hunting down the best bets for you. I'm your host, Sleepy J. You guys can find me on Twitter at SleepyJ_pregame. Joined here by the fantasy football NFL player prop expert. Got Chris Dell in the house. You guys can find him on Twitter at MadJournalist. You guys could always get us at thebettingpredators.com and on the best sports betting information site on the web, pregame.com. All right, guys, here we go. Money Picks Pod NFL Week 4. Chris and myself going to go ahead. We're going to go through all the games on the Sunday slate. We will exclude the primetime game on Sunday night. Chris, glad that you're on the podcast. I know that you specifically were kind of in the danger zone with the hurricane, and I was worried about you, but you told me that you were going to go ahead, evacuate, and get the hell out of Dodge. So I was glad to see that. I mean, you know, some people down there in Florida were not fortunate. It was sad, you know, to see some of the people down there and the shit that they went through. But, you know, like I told you, I was happy that you got the hell out of there. You made it back home. You got the power on. You had some time to go ahead and sit and kind of digest everything and go ahead and, you know, go ahead and get on the podcast. So thanks for coming on. But more importantly, I'm glad you're okay. And, you know, I'm glad you're back home and everything's cool. How you feeling about going into week four? You know, you feel like, I'm guessing you're probably underprepared, but, you know, how you feeling with everything that you actually were able to go ahead and get done?
I'm feeling good about week four. You know, we're coming off a really good week three where our free plays in the Discord, our premium plays in the Discord, both wound up profiting this past week for player props for my personal card. So very happy about that. I feel like we've had a really good season so far in terms of trying to take advantage of undervalued or players. In terms of last week we talked about on the podcast was all rookies being undervalued in the market, right? It was Garrett Wilson, it was Drake London, it was Chris Olave. And that was my three best bets on this podcast, and they all hit pretty easily. Even Garrett Wilson missed almost half the game with an injury, wound up hitting as well. So feel very good about where we have a pulse on things right now, where our process is with our research behind the scenes, things like that, working on things like our cheat sheet, our player projections, which are going to be coming out very soon, probably next week, as well as some other projects we have that are really cool behind the scenes as well. So feel good about that. And yeah, man, this whole week's been crazy. Been trying to keep up with as much injuries as I can. Thank God for things like Twitter and the Fantasy Life app. So I've been staying on top of all the injuries. I already know which players I want to target based off the data I've been able to look at. Haven't been able to make many personal bets this week, but plan on doing quite a bit this weekend. We wound up actually leaving to Orlando and staying there for the past week since Tuesday, actually. So just got back home today. Thank God the power just came back on. And trying to get back in the swing of things here, you know, prayers and thoughts all to the people in Fort Myers. I was born in Fort Myers. It's about an hour south of where I live here in Bradenton, Sarasota, and a lot of bad stuff going on down there. So definitely thoughts and prayers to those people. But I'm excited for football. Sports is a great thing. You know, it's a positive thing. Everyone kind of rally around when there's tough times out there, whether it's a hurricane, whether it's other things going on. So I'm excited about this weekend. There's a lot of bets I'm really looking forward to making in terms of attacking certain players this weekend for sure.
All right. Well, like I said, I'm glad you're, you know, back in action, back home safe. As far as me on the podcast last week, best bets and stuff like that in the Discord, I didn't do too well. So I was motivated. So I dug in deep this week. I feel like I have a lot of good prop plays for you guys this week. Chris and I are going to go ahead. We're going to start it out here with Minnesota and New Orleans. Now, guys, it's going to be at 9:30 Eastern start time. This game will be in London. Minnesota right now, -3. New Orleans, 41.5. Here's what I'm going to do, Chris. Looks like Winston's a no-go for this game. He's currently listed as doubtful. All the props right now are showing Andy Dalton. So it looks like Dalton most likely is probably going to get the start. You know, I went ahead and I tried to use Mark Ingram last week, and it turned out to be, you know, the Kamara show. He actually looked pretty healthy. He had 17 total touches, 15 touches on the ground, 2 through the air. I think the Saints have to lean on him this week. They can't go ahead and they can't count on Dalton. I do like the Vikings in this game. I'll be pretty clear about that. You know, Andy Dalton stepping in here. New Orleans hasn't looked exactly great, but I think Minnesota is the better team. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to play Kamara. Chris, I'm going to play him over. I think his rushing yards, 53.5 on FanDuel right now is certainly doable. I mean, Dalton is going to need to manage the game. And I think that that's going to include, you know, a heavy dose of handing it off to Kamara. So I'm going to go ahead. I'll play his over 53.5 rush yards. And based off of what I saw last week, it wasn't like they were overly trying to go ahead and get Ingram involved into the game plan. So if Kamara is healthy with the backup quarterback over 53.5, that's where I'm at for that game. How are you seeing the Vikings and Saints?
that's due to me with the hurricane evacuation lag. I totally missed the memo on Jameis Winston being doubtful. I know he was practicing and considered day to day, and pretty much the same injuries he had last week. So I'm surprised to hear that. I was really looking to target Chris Olave again because this guy's an absolute stud. Like I projected him in my preseason fantasy rankings to be the clear cut number one receiver in this offense. And we already saw it the last 2 weeks start to develop with Jameis Winston. I mean, he's had double digit targets now in back to back weeks. A clear cut above both Jarvis Landry and that Michael Thomas, two veterans who are about 30 years of age at this point. So guys who aren't necessarily in their prime anymore, as opposed to Olave, who's dominated in college, now has come in dominating within his first couple weeks in the NFL. So, you know, 59.5 for me with Olave, I would still lean towards the over there. I just really would hesitate to bet overs in the receiving game here with the Saints, because we don't know what Dalton's tendencies are going to be. And we also know that the Saints are going to rely on their defense more than anything to try to grind this game out here in London. So I'm not going to play that officially with Olave, although I was really hoping to in terms of Jameis Winston being at the helm. We know what Jameis Winston's tendencies have been over the years. We don't necessarily know what Andy Dalton's tendencies are going to be in this offense specifically. No Michael Thomas in this game either. So I'm not really sure what the game plan is going to be, if they're going to let Dalton kind of sling it around or if they're going to play it super conservatively. So I would definitely lean closer to what you are playing in terms of Kamara, whether it's rushing, receiving yards, et cetera here. So I think that at some point Justin Jefferson's got to be due for a bounce back game. But the only problem is that you're not getting a discount in the market, 84.5 receiving yards, when he could be seeing also a lot of Marshawn Lattimore in this game. It's just nothing that I really want to touch all that much. I actually think that one prop that I definitely am looking at, Sleepy, is KJ Osborne. He's been getting a lot of attention now. He's running over 50% of his routes from the slot. And the Saints have Lattimore on the outside, but they actually do give up a decent amount of production to slot receivers. So what you've been seeing is a lot of Thielen actually playing on the outside, where you have Thielen and Jefferson running the routes on the outside perimeter, and you have KJ Osborne getting targets, easy layup targets in the slot. So I think 31.5 receiving yards for KJ Osborne or over 2.5 receptions. I think those are halfway decent bets there. Definitely two I'm considering for my court overall, especially when you consider the fact that the Saints do have a superior defense here in this spot. So I think that when you look at the grand scheme of things here, you know, defense are going to continually to focus on Justin Jefferson every single week. And Kirk Cousins is going to need to get the ball out to somebody else. Thielen's an aging receiver. He's still a good, smart, savvy receiver. But Osborne's a young talent as well. You know, only 25 years old. He's got good size, good speed. 8 targets, 5 receptions, 73 yards last week. I don't think it's out of the question for him again here in this London game to go over 2.5 catches. So that's definitely something I have my eye on. I think DraftKings right now, -135, over 2.5 catches is something I'm definitely going to be considering for my official best bets for the weekend.
All right, good stuff on that game. Let's jump over to, I guess we can call this one maybe the marquee matchup of the week, and it will be the Buffalo Bills. They'll be on the road here facing the Baltimore Ravens. Current line in this game, Buffalo -3, total 51. Highest total here on the board out of all the games this week. Chris, I'm actually going to go ahead and play a TD prop in this one. I'm going to go down and play Stephon Diggs to go ahead and score a touchdown. Yes, -105. Diggs leads the NFL in touchdowns for wide receivers thus far this season, and now, that might not be a surprise to most of us, but I think one of the things that actually surprised me a little bit was that Stephon Diggs is actually in like the top 5 in like 6 major wide receiver categories. He's absolutely just killing it. He's been dominant this entire season, and you know, I think Josh Allen is certainly going to look his way more often than not. Buffalo, now they do have some injuries with some of their pass catchers right now, so I believe that probably only means more volume here for Diggs. Baltimore, they're allowing a league lead 353 passing yards allowed per game. That's by far the worst, and it's really not even that close. And the Dolphins, who have played 4 games to the Ravens 3, are still less than 300 yards allowed through the air per game. And that should just tell you how bad right now that this Ravens pass defense is. And to further, you know, how bad that pass defense is, they've allowed Mac Jones, Joe Flacco, and Tua, and Teddy Bridgewater to go ahead and throw for, you know, over 1,000 yards in just 3 games. The total in this game set at 51. Just think Diggs is going to end up finding himself some pay dirt in this game against the Ravens. Just that pass defense is just absolutely pathetic. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to use Diggs. I'm going to go ahead and play him to score a touchdown there, Chris. -105. I only got 2, but that's one that I really, really like for this game. That's what I got. What are you looking at?
Yeah, I'm looking at Diggs too. I'm gonna not attack the touchdown prop market like you are with that, although I don't mind that either. I think there's just a little bit of variance and flukiness to that, to where Diggs could go off for 200 yards, hypothetically, and still not score a touchdown because he gets tripped up at the one or something like that. But I think that Diggs is where you want to target, absolutely. The head-to-head market is something we've had a lot of success in this year. I've been putting those, I would say, we'll call them novelty props. I've been putting these in our free Discord channel as free play bonus bets. We've been hitting them at a very high rate overall, close to like 65%+ through 3 weeks. And what I like is that DraftKings, they're not only offering head-to-head props, they're offering spreads on head-to-head props. So I think that Stephon Diggs, -2.5 targets over Rashad Bateman at -130, definitely an area I'd love to attack. Where on the flip side, the money line on Diggs targets over Bateman is -600. And you're looking at a scenario where, you know, Diggs is seeing upwards of like double-digit targets per game. Bateman's hovering around like 5-6 targets per game. Now you bring up the fact that you just mentioned, which is the Baltimore secondary is like Swiss cheese, man. They made Mac Jones, before he went down last week, look like, you know, he was worthy of that top first round overall pick from a couple years ago. So Baltimore secondary is what we want to be attacking 100%. I'm jamming Diggs into my DFS lineups this week. Like, he is the chalk high owned player that I'm absolutely willing to play in this game environment here with the highest spread total on the board for week four. So I actually really like Diggs over 6.5 catches. I think that's a prop that normally I don't like playing receptions props that high. Gabe Davis is banged up, and receivers is where you want to attack in this offense. The amount of targets that Diggs is getting in this offense with Josh Allen, he's essentially playing what Cooper Kupp's role is in Los Angeles. And I absolutely love to see the chemistry between him and Allen as well there. So I like Diggs over 6.5 catches. I'll just call it a strong lean. Longest reception over 25.5 for longest reception for Diggs. You mentioned the Ravens giving up a lot of receiving yards. So you talk about the target volume, the catch percentage, and then the long play in terms of receiving yards by the defense. I think all these kind of correlate for Diggs to be able to hit the overs in each of these markets, especially with the fact that Gabriel Davis is coming in. You know, he was actually held out of practice on Thursday, came back, practiced in a limited fashion on Friday. It's looking like he's going to be like a 50-60% at best in this game. We saw him banged up a little bit last week, still played. Was not the same Gabe Davis we're used to seeing. So I'm on Steph Diggs big time in this game. I think taking him on the spread here, as well as the other two bets I mentioned, over 6.5 catches, longest reception over 25.5 yards. That's probably the last one I want to play, but I would say over 6.5 catches, and then -2.5 targets over Rashad Bateman on the spread, -130. Definitely something I really like there as well for this game.
All right, good stuff on that game. Let's jump over to our next tier. We got the Jacksonville Jaguars will be on the road here to face the Eagles. Eagles right now -6.5. We have a total of 45.5. Here's the one that I like here, Chris. Miles Sanders under 76.5 rushing and receiving yards. Look, the Jacksonville Jaguars rush defense, that's for real. I mean, they only allow right now 55 yards per game on the ground, and they haven't faced any, you know, bozo teams, bozo running backs. They held Gibson, Taylor, and Eckler to basically next to nothing. This Jags rush defense is for real, and Sanders on the season, you know, he only has 13 yards receiving, so I'm not really worried about him out of the backfield. And I know he's actually ran well, but he's actually been trending down since that first game. So it's not a hard call here for me. I think that Philly's going to look more to the passing attack versus the rushing. I mean, why would you want to put yourself behind the chains? So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to play Miles Sanders under 76.5 rushing and receiving yards. I like that one quite a bit. Let me throw a pizza bet prop bet here at you, Chris. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to play Gainwell pizza bet to score a touchdown +275. The reason being, Boston Scott's going to be out for this game. So I think maybe there might be a little value here on Gainwell going ahead and getting him at +275. So a little bit of change on that one, but that's all I got for that game. Chris, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm really interested to see the dynamic in the market in terms of what the public is deciding of who is the number one receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles. And while I do love me some A.J. Brown, probably one of my top two or three personal favorite players in the league, I think he's a top two or three talent at wide receiver in the league. Defenses also realize that as well. And I think that's a big reason we've seen the big surge in usage for Devonta Smith over the last couple of weeks. And look, Devonta Smith is a big talent in his own right, you know, produced at an elite level at the college level. And we've seen him already produce at an elite level these last couple of weeks. He had it really down week one. But, you know, even the best players in the league have down weeks in fantasy and the box score, et cetera. So we saw what the ceiling was for Devonta Smith in the last week. And I think that as much as I love A.J. Brown, I don't know if these two receivers should be 20 yards apart in the prop market. And while I'm not going to bet A.J. Brown under in this scenario, I definitely think it is worth looking at the overs on Devonta Smith. Just saw first glance of this matchup. Last two games, you know, Devonta Smith, let's not forget, he had a goose egg in week one. 4 targets, 0 catches, 0 yards. Okay, how about the last 2 weeks? 19 targets, 15 catches, 249 yards. Had 80 yards in week two, 169 yards in week three. Gets a Jacksonville defense where their strength is not in the secondary. It's, like you said, it's with the run defense. It's with Jerron Walker. It's with Josh Allen. It's with, you know, the core of that defense is stopping the run and rushing the passer. And Devonta Smith could offer a nice little outlet for Jalen Hurts to be able to take the pressure off where the defensive attention is going to be, which is trying to contain Hurts on the ground and trying to prevent A.J. Brown getting the ball in space. I think that Devonta Smith is going to continue to benefit off that because, again, A.J. Brown's a more talented, more explosive receiver, but Devonta Smith isn't really too far behind, but he's never going to be focused on as the main guy to shut down. And I think 54.5 in this type of game environment, this is one of the, let's say, healthier totals on the slate. We're dealing with a lot of totals below 45 this week. There's only a handful above it. This is 45.5. I think these are two capable offenses that are going to push each other in terms of scoring points. So I definitely, off first glance for me in this game, I would definitely like to play Devonta Smith over, shop around for the best line there. But again, I don't think there should be 20 yards difference between him and Brown. I'll definitely take the value on over 54.5 receiving yards for Devonta Smith here.
All right, good stuff on that game. Let's jump over to the next. We have the Titans. They'll be on the road here at the Colts. Colts right now -3.5. I do see some fours out there as well. Let's call the total 43. I'm going to do kind of the same thing here that I did here with Miles Sanders. I'm going to play Jonathan Taylor under 111 rushing and receiving yards. Look, we know Taylor's good, but you know, this is probably going to be a play that the public's going to be all over. The Colts at home, and they're playing a Titans team that's, you know, not very good. Can the Colts win this one by margin? I think that they can, and that'll certainly, you know, go ahead and help Taylor out. But, you know, this game's lined at just 3.5, so, you know, they're saying that it's going to be somewhat close. You know, the Titans are, you know, the one team that actually had some success last year against Taylor. He only racked up like 72 rushing and receiving yards in their first meeting last year in week three, and then he had 124 combined in the second meeting. But the Titans know that Taylor needs to be stopped and that the Titans have to make Matt Ryan beat them. So I think the Titans rush defense, although it hasn't been good this year, it's actually, you know, it's like ranked like fourth worst in the league. I think that area is going to be stressed on for this game. So I look for the Titans to actually kind of stack the box, load the box, do everything they can to stop Taylor, and they have to make Matt Ryan go ahead and beat them. And look, the Colts wide receiver options outside of Pittman, it's not all that scary. So I'm going to go against the grain here, Chris. I'm going to play Jonathan Taylor under 111.5 rushing and receiving yards. What do you got for that game?
Two offenses that I have not been impressed with so far, to say the least. And I'm with you. Like, I want to target unders in this game as much as I can. I'm not saying that there aren't any overs worth attacking either, but one guy I'm actually kind of surprised to see on this list is Nick Westbrook-Ikhine from the Titans. And look, he had 40 yards last week. Okay, I get it. Weeks 1 and 2, 13 yards each. All right, what happened in those first couple weeks? Robert Woods was not involved in this offense. Treylon Burks was not involved as a full-time player in this offense either. He actually ran 90% plus of routes in week three, even though his box score performance wasn't that great. Treylon Burks, the rookie there. Kyle Phillips was also out in those contests as well. So I think that there's a combination of factors that kind of led to that. I would definitely look towards Westbrook-Ikhine under, even though it's a very low number here, under 27 and a half receiving yards for him. I just don't know what kind of role he has in this offense right now. And I look at this as being kind of a low scoring, slow paced affair in this divisional contest here. So that's what I'm looking at for this game. I definitely would side with you in terms of looking at both Derrick Henry actually and Jonathan Taylor under their combined yards. Although Jonathan Taylor is where you're getting the great value because it's 112 and a half. Derrick Henry's all the way down at 86 and a half. So I definitely am with you on the Jonathan Taylor under there. And especially when you look at the fact that Jonathan Taylor's already juiced under 21 and a half rushing attempts minus 125. This is a game where it's two underperforming, underwhelming teams to start out the season in a tough division game. You know, I'm not sure if either of these offenses are really going to be able to get going too much. And then I do think there also is value on the flip side, looking at a guy like Michael Pittman, clear alpha receiver in this offense. It's already juiced over minus 145 for over 5.5 catches from Michael Pittman, but he's shown the ability to command double-digit targets every single week in this offense here. And I don't think this Titans secondary is anything we want to be afraid of. Pittman was coming off an injury, missed week two. Now in week three, one game back from an injury, 8 catches on nine targets. In week one, 9 catches on 13 targets. So I definitely want to be looking at the over on Pittman, 5.5 receptions as well in this game. Make sure to shop around that. But you might be able to find minus 120, minus 115. But I definitely think there's value on the over 5.5 for a guy like Michael Pittman. He's probably going to wind up with 10-plus targets in this game. I'd be surprised if he doesn't come up with at least a little bit more than half those targets at the end of the day.
All right, good stuff on that game. Let's jump over to our next here. We got the Jets. They'll be on the road here at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, let's call it 3.5. We got a total of 41.5. Here's one I'm going to play a running back over, Chris. I'm going to take Breece Hall over 38.5 rushing yards. I think with Wilson now the starter, you kind of have to consider and maybe even favor Breece Hall to probably get more touches. He was the number one running back on the depth chart to go ahead and start the season, but you know, with Wilson going down, the backup running back of Michael Carter, you know, he ended up getting more touches. And I think a lot of that was probably due to, you know, Joe Flacco coming in and playing, you know, all those games and stuff like that. So, look, I could be wrong, but I think Hall, you know, he's still running at, what, like 5.3 yards per carry. And the Steelers' rush defense is fifth worst in the league. I mean, they're allowing 143 yards per game on the ground. I think Breece Hall goes over this number. I think he's gone over 2 out of the last 3 games. And I think that there's a chance that he could be, you know, the number one running back go-to, you know, with Wilson here at quarterback. So I think it was maybe, I don't want to say it was a shock, Chris, that Michael Carter was out touching Breece Hall, but I think that's something that we certainly have to consider, you know, that from you know, with Wilson not being in there to Flacco, and now we get Wilson back in there. So maybe we end up getting, you know, more Breece Hall here. And 38.5, I don't think that's a whole lot. Steelers rush defense has been absolutely pathetic, so I'm going to go ahead and do that. Breece Hall over 38.5 rush yards. I like that one quite a bit.
Yeah, I can only be with you on that one as well. I'm actually going to go right back to the well on Najee Harris. I definitely like his under. I've been burned on this, Sleepy, because week one, Najee Harris, I bet his under rushing plus receiving. He goes over that by a couple yards, goes under the rushing yards. Then in week two, I flip it. I go Najee Harris under rushing yards. And he goes over by 1 yard, and then he goes under his rushing plus receiving yard. So one of these weeks, I'm going to get it right with Najee Harris betting his under. One of the most inefficient running backs in the NFL is Najee Harris. I've never been a big fan of his talent and efficiency. And this Jets defense is not as bad as people think, especially not on the front line. Their secondary definitely can be beat, and I definitely do think there's value here on Deontay Johnson over 5.5 catches. I do think there's a lot of value on him there. He's one of the top players. You look at these buy low DFS models. We're actually working on one of our own behind the scenes with our guy Jay, our analytics director here. But Deontay Johnson is definitely a guy who's showing as a good value in our DFS buy low model. And you can also see him at a couple of the best industry buy low models in the market right now for DFS purposes as well. So this Jets secondary is what you want to exploit. They haven't necessarily been the easiest defense to attack on the ground. We saw Joe Mixon struggle with them. You hit that under last week, Sleepy, where you predicted, even though the Bengals kind of won that game going away, Joe Mixon kind of struggled on the ground, man. 12 carries for 24 yards. So for me, I'm going to stick to my guns here. I'm probably going to bet both, to be honest with you. I'm going to bet Najee Harris under 89.5 combined rushing and receiving yards. I'm also going to bet Najee Harris under 66.5 rushing yards. Jalen Warren, the undrafted rookie who essentially took over the RB2 spot in front of guys like Benny Snell, Anthony McFarland, etc., he's looked really good. And he's also been really good as a pass blocker too. Like, they're looking for ways to get Jalen Warren on the field. And I know Najee Harris, the guy, he's a starter. I get that. I'm not saying he's not, but he's not getting like the 90% plus touch workload that he was last year. And that's a problem when you're looking at numbers this high with an offensive line that's this bad. And I don't know if the game script's going to go their way. I can see the Jets coming out and winning this game. They do have a halfway decent pass rush. They could get after Mitch Trubisky. We know every single week with the Steelers at this point is like, you know, could Mitch Trubisky get benched at halftime and could Kenny Pickett get in there? And we just don't have a quarterback who's willing to check it down to the running backs as often as Big Ben was last year. So for me, I'm staying away from the Jets pass catchers because we don't know what Zach Wilson's going to do. Like, I would have loved Garrett Wilson if Joe Flacco was playing this week. I would have loved to buy low on Elijah Moore if Joe Flacco was playing this week and they were going to drop back 50 times, but that's not happening this week. So I'm going to be hesitant to see. Like, that's one thing I really want to keep my eye on for fantasy season long, et cetera, is who is Zach Wilson targeting in the passing game? Who's he going to prefer to attack? Those are the things I'm going to be looking at. And then also something I don't bet too much, these quarterback rushing props, but we have seen Zach Wilson with the willingness or kind of tendency to start to scramble when things get out of control in the pocket. And with the Jets not having necessarily the best offensive line in the league, probably I would say mediocre at best, going up against a pretty good pass rush in Pittsburgh, could definitely see Zach Wilson getting out there and scrambling for a few plays. So I would call it a lean for now, probably a pizza bet for me at this point, but over 9.5 rushing yards for Zach Wilson. Those are some of the areas I'm looking to attack for this week, but definitely best bet for me in this game would be Najee Harris under rushing and under rushing plus receiving as well.
All right, good stuff on that game. To the Commanders. They'll be on the road here at the Cowboys. Cowboys -3, 41.5. Not sure if you'll like this one, Chris. I'm going to go with a head-to-head. I'm going to go and I'm going to play Carson Wentz over Cooper Rush, -2.5 passing yards. And this is on DraftKings at -115. Dallas is only throwing the ball right now for an average of 206 yards per game. But, you know, it's only 171 yards per game, you know, if you take out Dak and you put Cooper Rush in there. So that's not a whole lot of passing yards. Now, Dallas right now relying heavily on the running backs, and I think that's smart. You know, Zeke and Pollard's touches have both gone up over the last two games since Rush has been in there. And we know Washington, they're a pass-first team. Even though they haven't looked all that great, I don't think that that's going to change here. Now, I know the Dallas pass defense has actually looked pretty damn good. And, yeah, that is a little bit of a concern. And I think what kind of overrides that for me is that if Dallas is winning games right now, you know, running the ball first, then why the hell change that up? You know, they're not going to probably try to get cute. Like, if they can win games and Dak's not in there and Dak, you know, supposedly is supposed to be coming back, you know, rather sooner than later, then don't do anything crazy. Don't get cute. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to play head-to-head wins over passing yards, -2.5, a -115 over Cooper Rush. Not sure if you like that one there, Chris, but I can kind of see Dotson maybe having a big day, maybe McLaurin, maybe Logan Thomas, maybe the running backs. I just see more options here for Wentz, and it doesn't seem like, even though, you know, Washington's not, hasn't looked great in the passing attack, just doesn't look like they're slowing down. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to do that.
Yeah. You know, I gave out Carson Wentz under passing yards. That was one of the first props I gave out to our premium Discord channel this week. And it all has to do with Dallas's defense. However, I will say, doesn't mean that I disagree with you on Carson Wentz more passing yards than Cooper Rush. I think that this is a game where the Cowboys defense is going to dominate. And we saw even what Philly's defense was able to do last week against Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz kind of ran hot the first couple weeks of the season against Jacksonville. Not the best secondary again in the world, like we mentioned earlier, against Detroit, which, you know, as much as they've improved since last year, Detroit's defense isn't really that good this year in any level of the field yet. So I think Carson Wentz is still due for a little bit more aggression here. And I still like him under that 230 range in terms of his passing yards overall. But again, like, I don't expect Cooper Rush, like, their line very similarly, Cooper Rush 229.5 on DraftKings. Like, I don't really know why Cooper Rush is going to need to throw all that much in this game. I don't see many avenues for Washington with as banged up as their defense has been to really have issues kind of pushing the pace here in this game and taking the lead early on. So those are kind of some of the things that I'm looking at here. CeeDee Lamb is one of only two or three receivers in the league that has had a 30% plus target share in all 3 weeks, even though his efficiency was lacking a little bit in the first 2 weeks, he showed what he can do just in the second half alone in that game last weekend on primetime. So CeeDee Lamb wound up with a huge stat line in the box score there with Cooper Rush. And Washington's secondary is really bad. Even though Michael Gallup's looking like he's going to play, Dalton Schultz is looking like he's going to be back, I expect a lot of 11 personnel for Dallas, and it's going to be Lamb, Gallup, and Noah Brown with Dalton Schultz out there at tight end. So I do think there are some possibilities to get some production from those guys. But again, I see the game script favoring Dallas to where Washington's going to need to throw more than Dallas will need to throw. So I'm a little bit torn on this game. I don't hate your play. I'm still on Wentz under at the same time. I think those both get hit in a certain situation. I'm looking more at the reception head-to-head props, Lamb over Dotson, things like that. Still a game I'm kind of working through, so no best bet for me yet in this game, but could see this being a very low-scoring game at the end of the day here as well.
All right, with that game out of the way, let's go ahead. Let's jump into our next. We're going to talk about the Chargers. Actually, you know what, Chris? Before we get into this game, let me go ahead and do our commercial here for Bro Throw. If you guys haven't been to Bro Throw, you guys have to do that. I'll come clean. I called Chris a chicken like twice already this year, and I'm 0-2 heads up against him. And if you guys want to bet with your friends, like I bet with Chris, you guys could easily do that. All you have to do is go to Bro Throw. You could bet easily with your friends. It's not a sports book. It's a community, and it's the only sports betting platform that actually lets you bet directly with your friend. There's no fees. There's no juice. There's no middleman. Like I said, it's not a sports book. It's super simple. You guys just link up. You know, you can link your Cash App, your Venmo, and you guys could go ahead and you can bet. And there's no juice. And I think that's just, you know, that's huge. That's something that, you know, that's how the sports books stay in business. So, like I said, that Bro Throw is not a sports book. It's available in all 50 states, and bettors pay each other directly. And Bro Throw will make sure that you get paid. So go ahead, guys, throw out your first bet and go to brothrow.com/BPNFL and use code BPNFL. Bro Throw, free to sign up, cut out the middleman, and start betting on Bro Throw. That's brothrow.com/BPNFL. Chris, I have a feeling that we might actually end up with the head-to-head in this Chargers game. But, you know, how are you feeling now? Because, I mean, I tried to talk up Austin Eckler last week. I got a text. I don't even know what quarter it was in. It might have been like halftime. Dude had like 1 yard. And I just looked at the phone. I was like, dude, shut up, dude. That's where I was at with Eckler. And you know how I've been feeling about that, dude. But you got any comments on that? You're up 2-0 on me.
You're right. And you know what? Eckler actually had a halfway decent fantasy day because he had 8 catches for 48 yards. If you're playing a PPR league, you know, you're going to take that. You know, that's 12.8 points just in receiving volume alone. You know, gets 5 rushing yards on 4 carries. And this game was a mess because, you know, look, I mean, obviously in hindsight, Jacksonville's defense is continuing to play well, and they completely put the clamps down on this offense. But then again, like, should Justin Herbert really have even played in this game? I don't know, really. Questions about that. What should Tua have played this past week? There's some questionable things going on with guys forcing their quarterbacks into action maybe earlier than they should be right now in the NFL. So we'll wait and see what the ramifications of that are. But I think that, to me, like, the Chargers offense, man, like, if they don't – I know Keenan Allen's, like, he's not the youngest, sexiest name out there, but when Keenan Allen's not out there for the Chargers, like, they're really struggling. They also lost Rashawn Slater, one of the top picks in the draft from just a year or two ago, and – they're really struggling without him, and they're going to be without him again this week. So, you know, I don't know if the Texans' defense is as good. Can it put that same type of pressure on the Chargers here that the Jaguars did? But I'm a little bit worried about the efficiency of the Chargers' offense here. We see Mike Williams now has 2 games out of 3 this year with 1 catch, and he's supposed to be this ultra-talented, contested catch maven, you know, a lot of athleticism, and Herbert's supposed to be one of the best precision passers, young passers in the league. And why can't these two guys get on the same page? I'm really struggling to figure that one out here. And you look at the fact that Josh Palmer, 6 catches, 99 yards. Well, you can bet Josh Palmer over his yardage at DraftKings right now. For some reason, I'm not seeing Josh Palmer over receptions. So I'm a little bit worried, concerned about why they're not hanging Josh Palmer receptions, because that's where I wanted to look. Hopefully, we get a line on that sometime soon. I'm going to continue to look for that one there. But yeah, man, like with Eckler, they got three guys they're giving the ball to. Maybe they change that. They probably need to give Eckler the ball a little bit more than they have been on the ground game as well. But 55 and a half rushing yards for Eckler, I don't know, Sleepy. He's had 36, 39, and 5. So I'm almost inclined to bet the under on his rushing yards again. This game is really difficult for me to handicap from a props perspective because as much as I would love to bet Damian Pierce over rushing yards again, we hit that pretty easily last week. I don't know if the game script's going to allow him to against the Chargers. This could be a bounce-back spot situationally for the Chargers. So I think that if the game script gets away from the Texans and they're losing, we could see a lot of Rex Burkhead on the field and a lot less Damian Pierce. So I'm kind of struggling with this one here. I don't know if you got any best bets for this game. This is one game I have not yet been able to pinpoint. Other than Josh Palmer over receptions, which is not available at the current moment, that's where I want to look for this game at least.
All right. Well, you said a couple interesting things there. I think the first thing that you have to consider, Chris, is that if you're out there looking for a prop and it's not there, but his yards are there, that's just telling me that you know the right play. And it's Palmer over his receptions. So look around and try to track that down, because generally when DraftKings would normally have something up, or if, you know, a sportsbook would normally have something up and it's hard to find, generally that's probably a winning wager and they're just afraid to go ahead and post that number. So I think you were tracking with that, Chris. And Mike Williams has been a little bit of a surprise. I mean, last year, that dude single-handedly, but he helped me out a whole hell of a lot with my fantasy team last year. Dude was a monster. So I don't know what's going on with Williams. But here's what I'm going to do, Chris. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to play Austin Eckler over 55 and a half rushing yards for this game. I know. But I have to play it. Herbert, still not 100%. But the Texans, bar none, have the worst rush defense in the league. Montgomery went down last week. And my backup running back on the bench, Chris, was Herbert. And boy, did I wish I had him in my lineup. He carved them up. You know, I think if the Chargers can avoid Herbert, you know, taking any unnecessary shots and they can move the ball, then why not use Eckler? Eckler last week, he had 5 yards, and that was on 4 carries. So the dude should be 100% healthy. He should be completely rested. And the Chargers were behind all game. And Herbert was just a few ticks over 50% in that game. So he was like 25 for 45. So clearly he's not 100%. But he's definitely better than the backup option. So, you know, you're going to have to put Herbert out there. I'm going to do it one more time. I'm going to go with this bum, Austin Eckler. And if he doesn't go over his rushing yards this week, I'm just erasing him from my memory. And I'll never, ever play that guy ever again. But this has to be like a game where they look to Eckler. And with the Texans' rush defense, as bad as it is, and it's the worst in the league, if this guy can't get over 55 rushing yards, man, then something's got to be done. So I'm going to do it again. If you want to go on Bro Throw and bet me, we'll do it. See if you can go 3-0, but there's no way. I don't lose 3 times in a row.
You're looking like Biff Tannen over here, man. You got to throw the on Marty McFly, turn it around. You call me a chicken, Back to the Future 2 style. So you know what, man? Again, like you mentioned earlier, I'm a little bit off kilter, off schedule right now with the whole hurricane stuff that's been going on. So haven't been able to dive as much as I want to into this, but based off the numbers in our cheat sheet, which we're going to put out sometime tomorrow on Saturday, is the Chargers, even though they do have a really good matchup with the Texans here, the Chargers actually have like the bottom 3 run blocking unit in the league. So I'm not sure if they're going to be able to take advantage of this matchup here. It's a little bit concerning for me. You actually see maybe even a better chance for the Texans to take advantage of the Chargers' run defense in that sense. So this game just kind of concerns me all around. Again, like no Keenan Allen. I would think that this should be a bounce back spot for Mike Williams, but that's more of a spot to me with the level of inconsistency that I'm probably more willing to play him in a DFS lineup and look for that ceiling play as opposed to just betting a straight number. Because I could see Mike Williams, again, like, this offense is struggling right now in a bad way. Maybe he goes 2 for 10 on 9 targets and is completely inefficient again, or he could have 5 catches for 150 yards and 2 touchdowns. So I think the level of variance here with Mike Williams might be one of the biggest in the league in week 4. And it's not something I want to bet necessarily on a prop, So we're gonna get a bro throw Brett here at some point in this podcast. I'm not gonna be the sucker and be drawn into betting Eckler back to back week. So I'm at the pass on that one for now.
All right. Well, I'm not exactly sitting here begging you to bet me on that one either, because it's like, if there's one guy that's let me down over the last three seasons, it's Eckler. So it's not like I'm begging you for the action on that one, but I'm sure we'll find something that we probably disagree on. Let's jump into the next game here. We got the Seahawks. They'll be on the road here in Detroit. Detroit right now, -3.5, total 47.5. Here's what I'm going to do, Chris. I don't love this one, but I think that the bettors might actually flock to this one. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to play DJ Chark under 51.5 receiving yards. I think the bettors are going to look to go ahead and play him over. This offense, I think, for the Lions is going to be kind of all whacked out this week. You know, with no Amon St. Brown, no Swift, I think people are going to go ahead and really look towards DJ Chark to go ahead and move the chains and get the ball rolling. But I'm not sure he gets a ton of looks in this game. Chark, you know, he's kind of like the new man in town with this Lions offense. And Reynolds, you know, last week he had 10 targets, and Goff knows Reynolds far better. And I look for Goff maybe to go ahead and probably get back to the Hockenson train. Hockenson has kind of been down for a little bit, but I think we see a pretty decent dose of Goff to Hockenson in this game. And I'd actually consider maybe Hockenson, maybe like a good DFS lineup, maybe even, you know, maybe even stack him, because that Lions secondary, or that Seahawks secondary, is not all that great. But Chark, to me, I think he's going to kind of be like a sheep's prop play. So I'm just going to go ahead. I'm going to play him under DJ Chark under 51.5 receiving yards. That's all I really have for that game, Chris. Don't necessarily love it, but I certainly won't play DJ Chark over. That's what I got.
Yeah, you know what? I don't disagree with you on the short play. Actually, two plays I really like in this game. I'm not sure if I like him as much a couple days ago when Amon-Ra St. Brown was looking like he was trending towards maybe being questionable. Now he's not playing. But you know what? I still like these plays. I went a half unit at the beginning because I knew there's a lot of uncertainty from the Lions offense. Basically, they're going to be without their two top offensive playmakers, which is Amon-Ra St. Brown and DeAndre Swift. I don't think you can argue that. I still like Metcalf and Lockett both over here. And this has to do with the fact that the Lions secondary is still one of the worst in the league through 3 weeks at this point. It was one of the worst in the league projected across the industry before we even got into this season. Lions offense, on the other hand, they're still pretty good. They have a really good offensive line. Jamal Williams is a more than capable backup running back at this point of his career. He's always that thorn in the side of if you have Aaron Jones and the Packers, and you always want Jamal Williams to go away. If you own DeAndre Swift and the Lions, you always want Jamal Williams to go away. Well, until those guys get hurt, and then you want Jamal Williams in your lineup. So if you got Jamal Williams this weekend in fantasy, you're starting him. I'm guessing he's going to be one of the chalkier players in fantasy this week as well. But that all goes to say that the Lions defense, it's better at stopping the run than it is the pass to an extent. And I think that DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett are in for big games here. And Tyler Lockett's juiced 62.5 -135 on DraftKings for a reason, in my opinion. These guys have actually been gelling quite well. The Seahawks have upped their pass rate over expectation, their neutral pass rate, all the numbers you look at in that aspect. They've actually increased that from last season going into this year. This is still a game with a relatively healthy point total on the board, despite these guys missing. I'd probably lean a little bit under at this point because, you know, I think that's a big deal when you have two of the best playmakers on one offense not playing. But 47.5, even if it goes down to 46.5, 45.5, it's still a pretty modest total compared to the rest of the totals on the board for week four. So I like Lockett over. I like Metcalf over. You've seen the target shares with these guys. Geno Smith actually has one of the best efficiency rates in terms of his pass percentage going for catchable targets to his receivers. So I like everything I'm seeing. I like the matchup here. And I think that these guys are set up for big games, especially if the Lions hold down on their side as 3.5-point favorites. If they force the Seahawks into a negative game script and the Seahawks have to throw the ball a lot, they're going to throw it to Metcalf and Lockett and not really anyone else in this offense. I think that 60 yards each for a great matchup, a good game script, and good chemistry with the quarterback, those are two attainable numbers. So I definitely like those still. And then I would actually look at Josh Reynolds, man. Like Josh Reynolds, he played with Jared Goff in L.A., and the thing about DJ Chark, another reason I like that play you mentioned, Sleepy, is that he was actually downgraded at practice this week. He practiced in a limited fashion early in the week. Then he was downgraded and did not practice on Thursday. Now, typically, that means the guy's not going to play when it comes to Sunday. but he actually came back and practiced in a limited fashion on Friday. So, you know, it's looking like he's trending to play, but he's definitely not going to be 100%, whereas Josh Reynolds, he's going to play. He practiced all week, albeit in a limited fashion himself. So I definitely am looking at Josh Reynolds, even though, look, the lines have been accounted for here in the market, but you're looking at a guy in Josh Reynolds with that previous chemistry with Jared Goff. You saw what he did last week, even when Amon-Ra St. Brown got hurt and came back in that game. 10 targets, 6 catches, 96 yards. He's an outside perimeter receiver in a really good matchup for the Lions here. I like Reynolds over 50 and a half yards. Chark is banged up. He's not 100%. St. Brown's out. Swift is out. Hockenson, at the end of the day, he's been pretty underwhelming so far this season in terms of his efficiency. I like banking on that chemistry there. I think 50 and a half is an attainable number with the game total here, with the projected team total for the Lions. So if I got to lean anywhere for me outside of the Lockett Metcalf plays, it's definitely towards Josh Reynolds. I love Josh Reynolds in DFS this week. I'm hoping he doesn't get steamed up too high as a chalky play. I think there's a lot of upside in a potential shootout here where if the top guys aren't playing and these two teams still score a lot, then you're going to be looking at great DFS values in terms of guys like Reynolds, Lockett, Metcalf, Hockenson, et cetera. So I think there's a lot of juicy fantasy potential for this game alone outside the superstars here.
Yeah, more than likely, I'm going to have a DFS lineup that's probably going to involve the stack with Goff, Reynolds, and Hockenson. And I think that's going to free me up to, you know, get some real bombers in there, you know, guys like Diggs if you're looking. So, yeah, I'll be doing that. And I'm not against the Reynolds play at all. I think that there's a good chance that he eats and him and Hockenson actually both go over. So, interesting game. That'll be interesting. Let's jump over to the Browns. They'll be on the road here at the Falcons. Current Lions game, Cleveland favorite here on the road, -1. And we have a total of 47.5. Chris, here's my other touchdown prop. I'm going to give out David Njoku to go ahead and score a touchdown. Yes, at +240 on FanDuel. Now, DraftKings has this at +190. So if you're going to go ahead and do this one, make sure you get it at FanDuel at +240. But look, I think Njoku is clearly this team's number two passing option. And the Falcons' pass defense, it's 6th worst in the league. Now, I think Terrell, you know, A.J. Terrell for the Falcons, one of the best corners in their league, he's going to be locked up probably on one of the wide receivers. You know, maybe it's Cooper, you know, maybe it's Peoples-Jones. And I think that leaves Njoku open, you know, for some favorable matchups pretty much all game long. I would consider his receptions over, his yards over. But look, if I can get him +240 to go ahead and score a touchdown against this Falcons pass defense, I'll go ahead, I'll do that. So that's my other passing prop touchdown there, Chris. David Njoku to score a touchdown, yes, at +240. That's all I have on that game. What do you got?
I was a little surprised that this game has such a high total. It's like tied for 2nd or 3rd on the week. And I know these offenses have put up a decent amount of points. They've looked halfway decent, but I don't know if I'm buying it, man. I really like Drake London in this game. He kind of had a down game last week, even though he still hit the over for us on the money picks best bet prop from last week. It was 55 and a half yards for London. He wound up with 56, even though Kyle Pitts kind of had his bounce back game in that contest there. But against the Browns here, the Browns have been vulnerable to wide receivers so far this season. And Drake London has just shown an ability to command a lot of targets in this offense here. You know, even though Pitts had the quote-unquote big game last week, Pitts had half his targets on the first drive of the game for Atlanta. Wound up with 8 targets overall, 5 catches, 87 yards. Now, look, if you had Pitts in your fantasy lineup, and you knew what he did in the first half, you're actually probably a little bit disappointed. He only wound up with 5 catches for 87 yards. London scored a touchdown, 3 catches for 54 yards in that game. I want to go right back to London, honestly, Sleepy, 56 and a half yards. The books increased it a little bit from last week. The bet last week was over 53 and a half for London, so I confused that with the line for this week. So going from 53 and a half to 56 and a half, I think the targets are there. The talent is there. The matchup is there again this week. And I just don't know if Pitts is going to get more targets on a consistent basis than London. So that's definitely somewhere I'm looking overall for this game. And I'm interested to see, Sleep. I don't know if I missed this, but Kyle Pitts doesn't have a receiving yards prop for the Browns. He has a receptions prop. he's actually juiced under 4.5 -125. And if DraftKings is telling us that they're looking towards taking action on the under for Pitts' receptions, it makes me like London more. And I think London is like showing the ability to get targets deep, intermediate, short levels of the field. It just makes you want to bet London all that much more. So I'm looking at London again, over 56.5. These other guys, I'm not too confident. I'm not confident in Pitts to maintain a consistent level of production either. So I'm going right back to London. We're basically 3-0 on him for the season so far. Hopefully looking to make that 4-0 here again. But I think the number's too low. This is an elite receiver to me in the NFL that he's on a quote-unquote bad team, and he's not really a household name yet, but he will be soon. And we could be talking about like a month from now where we never see a receiving line for London under 65, 70 yards. So I'm going to continue to buy low on the rookie London, most talented rookie in the class from last year's draft. I'm going to look to him again on his overs for week four.
Yeah, you're 100% on the right track. I watched that game last week. That was my premium play. I had that game over, and I cashed that one easily. And I'll tell you what I heard, and this was during the broadcast, was that Kyle Pitts actually complained that he wasn't getting the ball enough. So they were feeding him on that first and second drive. Mariota was going to him over and over and over again. Even though he didn't connect with him a couple times, a couple missed catches or something like that, like he was targeting Pitts. But as that game wore on, he started to get away from Pitts because that game became, you know, more and more important, you know, for the Falcons to go ahead and win. So they started looking a little bit more towards London. And actually, Mariota had missed some throws to London that I thought London would have easily gobbled up more yardage, but they were just, like, let's just say, poor throws from Mariota. So I think you're clearly on the right side with that one. And let me go ahead and throw this at you too, Chris, with that game in particular. Cordarrelle Patterson right now is highly questionable. So if he doesn't play, I mean, you have to like London in that particular game. With that said, let's go ahead. Let's jump over to our next game here. We got the Bears and we got the Giants. Giants are going to be home favorites here, -2.5. We have a total of 39.5. I'm going to stick with these premier running backs under their rushing and receiving yards. Now, I'm going to wait on this one. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to play Saquon Barkley under 113.5 rushing and receiving yards. I certainly think this is another sheep's play that the public's going to be on. And look, the Giants have no passing attack right now. Tony's out. Shepard's on the IR. Wondell Robinson's out. Galladay's barely played this season. You know, the Giants wide receiver core, it's just simply way undermanned. Well, that might make everybody think Saquon. And look, and that very well could be the Giants' game plan, and he could get his touches. But, you know, the Bears have to do something different with their rush defense. And if they can just go ahead and manage to go ahead and load the box and stop Saquon, well, then you put Daniel Jones in a position to where he has to throw to people that we never heard of. And we saw what the Giants looked like in the last game passing the ball. It was absolutely terrible. Barkley went over this number last week, and I absolutely love that. And I think this number has just gone up too much right now, but I think it's going to go up even further. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to fade Barkley this week. I think the Bears stack the box. They slow him down, and it becomes a game in which Daniel Jones needs to get the ball to guys we never heard of. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to play Saquon Barkley under 113.5 rushing and receiving yards, but I will wait on that. I'll bet that probably right before game time on Sunday. That's what I got for that game. Chris, what are you looking at?
Here we go, Sleepy. We got our next Biff Tannen versus Marty McFly version 3 this year in week 4. I'm going to take Barkley over on that. So you got the green button out. We're going to make that an official bet. We're going to make that our bro throw bet of the week here. So I'm going to take Barkley over the 113.5.
All right. I love it. What else you got for that game?
To me, this is all about, I think that, like, I understand your handicap of it. I get it. For me, it's just that, like, yeah, like, they have no one else to give the ball to. Like, they're going to have to give Barkley the ball, and I don't think the Bears' defense is good enough to stop it, especially when you look at the fact that they're going to be without their top cornerback, Jalen Johnson. I also like Richie James. Right now, his over receptions is -170 on DraftKings. I'm almost certain you can shop around and get something under -150 for that. I do like that a lot. Richie James so far this year, four catches, minimum 5 targets in 3 straight games. Short, shallow, A-dot type of guy. Still has shown the ability in the past years with the 49ers, other teams, that he's been able to catch deep balls as well. He's the number one receiver this week for the Giants. So Richie James, to me, like, I love him over 3.5 catches. I actually like that bet more than Barkley over, but just for the head-to-head sake, we got to keep this thing going. Like, I think Barkley, to me, like, we've seen what Barkley has been able to do this year. And what really kind of lightened me up to this play is that I'm not going to say it's an official best bet for me this week, but I'll definitely take you on head-to-head because Barkley last week against the Cowboys, like, Cowboys are one of the best defenses in the NFL. And he was able to put up 81 rushing yards, 45 receiving yards. Barkley's game script proof. He's one of, like, maybe three running backs in the NFL, maybe two. Like, it's Barkley and McCaffrey. They're essentially game script proof where if their team trails, there's not a second running back coming in and catching the passes. Like, even with the Colts, like, Taylor and the Colts go into a negative game script, which is why I like your Taylor under. But Nyheim Hines is going to be at least splitting the snaps with him in a negative game script. Like, no one's coming in to take receiving snaps away from Barkley. And if they do run in a positive game script, then I think Barkley could just tear through this Bears defensive line, especially with his breakaway speed and big playability. So I'm definitely going to go towards the over on him for those reasons alone. But again, Richie James, it's essentially like what's the show? Whatever the zombie show is, The Walking Dead on AMC, like, that's the wide receiver room for the Giants at this point. No Kadarius Toney, no Wando Robinson. Kenny Galladay is literally a corpse on the field. Like, I'd be surprised if he catches one pass for 7 yards in this game. So no unders for Galladay, even though it probably – I don't know if he'd be the best bet in the world to make, but you can bet the over still on James, and I'm going to the receptions because, again, shallow A-dot type of player. Daniel Jones is not showing the ability to stretch the field, but – the ball's got to go somewhere. It's going to go to Barkley, maybe a little bit to Bellinger as well, the rookie tight end. He had about 4 or 5 catches last week on those targets, similar type of target share. He's over 1.5 catches, minus 175. So as ugly as it sounds, I lean strongly to the Bellinger over 1.5 catches, minus 175. I really like Richie James over 3.5 catches, and that's kind of where I'm at right now. Steve Reeder gave out a play for Barkley over his receiving yards. He's all they got. So I'm going to ride Barkley in this.
I actually like the Bellinger and I like the Ricky James too. Cause I thought about him like, well, who the hell are they going to throw the ball to? Those are like the only two options. And actually Bellinger got some pretty decent work last week and Richie James at just 3.5. I just, you know, I don't think it's enough. And look, I think that there's a chance that the Giants struggle to even move the chains. Like, I could see a lot of 3 and outs with that team to where now you have the Bears on the other side with Khalil Herbert. And I think you have to favor, actually, the Bears' offense in this game. So, you know, they could be moving the chains, just grinding away with Herbert, where, you know, that the Giants don't have enough offensive plays. I think that's, you know, not that far out of the question, because I saw what the Giants looked last week, and it was, you know, pretty much pathetic. But we'll see. So we got our head-to-head bet there. That'll be interesting. Now let's jump into – we got 3 more games left. We got the Cardinals next. They'll be -1. They'll be on the road here at Carolina. We have a total of 43.5. Chris, I'm doing it. Baker Mayfield over 203.5 passing yards. Getting Mayfield to have a good game, it's just like, it's like pulling freaking teeth with this guy. But, you know, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to buy him low here. And I think, you know, that he's going up against the third worst passing defense in the league. I think it's worth a shot. McCaffrey's banged up right now. He could be limited. And the rushing game, I don't think for Carolina, is going to have to be overly used here because the Cardinals' pass defense is just absolutely terrible. Like, look, this is the game where Baker, he either steps up and delivers or he seriously starts getting looked at, you know, as a backup quarterback in for his future in this league. He has to deliver here, and it's a home game, you know, against the Cardinals, and this is, in my opinion, it's like the best situation possible. I mean, it's another game under his belt where the running back's banged up, and he's going up against a terrible pass defense. It's only 203 yards. Like, if he can't do this, I don't know what this guy can do. So, you know, I'm being negative against him, Chris. And I think that, you know, you were way ahead of the market on Baker, and I was way behind. And it's like, it's one of those deals where I kind of just, you know, put my fanboy hat on. I thought he was okay. I thought this, and I still think that this is the offense for him. I think that Matt Rhule is the coach for him. But, he started out slow, and I think I'm buying him at his like ultimate low pricing and in the potential best situation. So I'm gonna go ahead. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna play Baker over 203.5 passing yards. That's what I got for that game. What do you think?
I don't know if Matt Rhule's the right coach for anybody at this point right now. So that could be something that's holding Baker back to an extent. Baker has always, I think the fantasy first type of perspective here is like Baker's never supported consistently any receiver in his career. And that's a problem he had with OBJ. OBJ wanted to leave because like he felt like he wasn't getting targeted enough by Baker. And I think people can argue more on OBJ's part at this point. He had success with the Rams when he went there last season before he got hurt. And now we're all of a sudden seeing like, well, where's DJ Moore? Like he's getting six targets at most. And his catch rate is like in the bottom tier of the league, even though early in his career, he's always had a very efficient catch rate. So I don't know, man, like Baker's whole style of like spreading it around to guys who aren't very talented. Like it's tough, man. I think at this point, like I can get behind your play because I think that the Cardinals are just a better team here. Although the Panthers did have an impressive win. Like their defense did show up against New Orleans, albeit against Jameis Winston and his bad back and all that stuff. So to me, I'm looking at something of what I've seen the last couple of weeks and in this game. Like I'm going to the head-to-head market here. And right off the bat, when I see what the options are, Marquise Brown over DJ Moore. We're talking about an offense in the Cardinals that runs way more plays in the top half of the league in terms of plays per game, snaps per game on offense versus bottom five in the league in the Panthers. And look, there could be some regression for the Panthers. They could run some more plays. They could throw some more passes this next week. I get it. But right now I can bet Marquise Brown minus 0.5 targets over DJ Moore, minus 130. Marquise Brown minus 0.5 catches over DJ Moore, minus 130. I like both those bets. Actually, the Carolina Panthers secondary has given up the most fantasy production to wide receivers this year in terms of receiving yards, targets, and catches overall. We saw what the Cardinals were able to do. Like Kyler Murray's only played with Marquise Brown for a few weeks now, and we've seen that chemistry start to develop, man. Like week one, Marquise Brown, 6 targets. Week two, 11 targets. Week three, 17 targets, 14 catches against the Rams. Like, that's absolutely insane volume. So, to me, Marquise Brown, like, he literally tripled DJ Moore's target share last week. Baker likes to spread it. He doesn't like to force feed target one guy. Kyler Murray, maybe he will, especially in the fact that they still don't have DeAndre Hopkins. You have an aged tight end in Zach Ertz. And Rondale Moore's coming back this week, but he's kind of going to split the slot snaps with Greg Dortch. So all signs point to me again for Marquise Brown. I'm trying to make it a point to force Marquise Brown into a lot of my DFS lineups this week because I think he has a very high floor based off his target share the last 2 weeks. But I think his ceiling in this matchup is like insane. So I want to take Marquise Brown over DJ Moore in every single head-to-head matchup I can get in this game. No matter how the game script plays out, I think Brown's due for a big game here. So that's the only place I can look in terms of props for this matchup.
All right. Good stuff on that game. I'm not against that play either. Let's jump into our next game here. We got the Broncos will be on the road in Las Vegas. Currently in this game, Raiders minus 2.5, total 45.5. Chris, I'm going to make this my best bet of the podcast. I'm going to go out and play Jerry Jeudy over 44.5 receiving yards. Look, the Broncos are running the ball just way too much. This team has to pass the ball. They have to get aggressive. They brought Russell Wilson in for what? To dump down to the running backs over and over and over again and to go ahead and just, you know, use the running backs. I mean, they got almost 70 attempts on the ground this season. I mean, it's just, they're just running the ball to way too much. And this offense is, it's one of the worst in the league right now in terms of, you know, points per game. They're second worst. You know, the Broncos are just relying on the running backs to just go ahead and do everything. I think Judy's going to be involved in this game. The Raiders' pass defense, it stinks. I think this game sets up for Jeudy to have a monster game, and a lot of people are going to look to go ahead and stay the hell away from him and stay away probably from the Broncos in general. I mean, the Broncos just are not scoring points. But this is a game, I think, where it's another game with Russ. It's another game where, he's going to, I think Judy has a big week. I think this is maybe one of his bigger games of the year. So I'm all over this. This number is just way too low. I think we played him over last week, Chris, and I think we came up short with him, but I'm going back to that this week. Best bet, Jerry Jeudy, over 44.5 receiving yards. I think it was a big week for him. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all, honestly. I actually think that, honestly, there's a lot of value in Javonte Williams in this game. This is a guy that, against San Francisco last week, I lost that. That was one of the props I lost, even though we had a good week. We're almost plus six plus units on the season in terms of my player props cards for our package. But Javonte Williams, man, against San Francisco's run defense, which we've made a lot of money betting unders for running backs going up against San Francisco's run defense over the last year, 15 carries for 58 yards, man. 3.9 yards per carry, okay, it is what it is. Not that great, but against San Francisco, that's pretty damn good. Now he's going up against Las Vegas, who hasn't really been able to stop many running backs. They made Derrick Henry look really good last week. So for me, I don't just usually go straight to this prop, but Javonte over 50.5 rushing yards, definitely lean over on that right now. It's minus 125 on DraftKings. He's had 15 carries in back-to-back games. 15 carries, 75 yards in week two against the Texans. 15 carries, 58 yards in week three against the 49ers. At some point, the Broncos offense has to get back on track, Sleepy. And I think that actually your prop and mine go hand-in-hand, because if Judy does get going, if Russell Wilson does get going and the pass game gets going here, and they actually play well and efficient against the Raiders, then that could definitely lead to a positive game script to where they're going to try to run out the clock towards the end. And if they do, then it's going to be a lot of Javonte Williams with some Melvin Gordon mixed in there. So that's where I want to look for this game in particular. A lot of the ancillary pieces for the Raiders right now, like, we don't know for sure if Hunter Renfrow is not going to play. I'm pretty sure he's not going to play. So Matt Collins, for me, like, I don't know, man. Like, I just, that whole situation, like, Davante Adams eventually is going to get his. He's been kind of struggling in efficiency the last couple of weeks, but Albert O has been really struggling. So I like the Judy call. I think that's a really good buy low opportunity because of his talent and big playability. I'm definitely with you on that one. I'm also going to go to Javonte because if he had 58 against the 49ers, I could definitely see him easily getting over 50 early against the Raiders here. So that's kind of where I'm going to go for my best bet for this game. Before I wrap up this game here, I do want to mention that a lot of cool things are happening over at bettingpredators.com. You haven't got a chance yet. At the end of this month here, in about 2 days, actually, our coupon code BP30, which gets you $30 off our premium package, will expire. So that's going to be the best deal you can get all year for the rest of the season through the end of the Super Bowl. Myself, I'm about 6+ units on my best bet player props on our Discord channel for our premium subscribers. Steve Reeder, our NFL handicapper, is up big on the season on his best bets as well. So make sure to take advantage of that offer before you get a chance before it expires. And also, we launched a couple cool tools over at bettingpredators.com this past week as well. We launched our official newsletter on Substack. You can get that for free. We're going to be putting out two newsletters a week. So make sure to get that on our website. You can get the link for it or on our Twitter page, at BetPredators on Twitter. We're also going to be launching some really cool tools this upcoming week. We have our DFS buy low model, which is going to come out officially to the public next week after week four, once we get a lot of data under our belts for the first quarter of the regular season. We also have our player projections, which we've been working on, basically taking the consensus player projections from across the industry and creating an average in terms of variance from player to player, from team to team. A lot of data behind the scenes working on that. Shout out to our guy Jay, working on analytics for that behind the scenes for us as well. So we have our player props projections, our fantasy projections. We have our buy low DFS model. And we also have our cheat sheet, which we're going to start putting out on a week-to-week basis as well. So a lot of free tools and a lot of opportunities to get a discount for our premium picks and our best bets at Betting Predators. So make sure to check us out, bettingpredators.com. Hit me up on Twitter if you want a special discount for any of these things. And in case you missed that by a day on our premium package, just hit me up. I might be able to hook you up behind the scenes. So just let us know. We appreciate all your guys' support. So wanted to let you guys know all the cool things we got going on. A lot more to come after week four, going forward for the rest of the season, bettingpredators.com.
All right, good stuff on that one. Let's jump over to our final game here, Chris. I was kind of looking for your opinion on this one. So we had the Patriots will be on the road at the Packers. Packers minus 9.5. We have a total of 40. And I figured, I'm like, should I just play AJ Dillon over 52.5 rush yards? And I'm like, that's probably the way to go in this one. Green Bay's 9.5-point favorites. You know, I don't know how the Pats really score in this game unless they run the ball just really, really well. You know, you're going to have Hoyer stepping in now for Mac Jones. And I could see Green Bay actually with a good lead, you know, and probably trying to keep Rodgers as clean as possible in this particular game being 9-point favorites. I think Dillon gets a bunch of touches in this game, and I think he gets them all game long. And if Green Bay has a lead, you know, it's probably going to feature, you know, Dillon quite a bit. So I like him over 52.5 rush yards. I think he sees 15-plus touches here. I wasn't sure which way you would go with either of the running backs. I mean, maybe they could both go over. But I think Dillon over 52.5 rushing yards to me, it just screams value and it screams game situation and everything. So I was on Dillon, but I was just curious if you were going to be all over this one or, you know, if you were just going to kind of be, you know, lukewarm or neutral.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% all over it. I, the one thing I have been able to get a little bit of a leg up on being stuck in a hotel room for the last 3-4 days is fidgeting around with my DFS tournament lineups. And I can tell you one thing is that I'm really going to try to get Aaron Jones or A.J. Dillon into my lineups. And A.J. Dillon, for me, as long as his ownership doesn't get too out of control, his price tag is in a really good spot to where I can get guys into my lineup like Steph Diggs, Mark Andrews, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. Like, I really want to try to force at least one stack from that Ravens-Bills game, even though it's going to be very expensive. And the only way I can really do it is by getting one of those mid-priced running backs into my lineup. And A.J. Dillon's that guy. And, you know, whether it's Bailey Zappe, Brian Hoyer, or a combination of the two, man, like the Packers defense, they're going to get after this New England Patriots offense here. And I'm going to take it a step further, Sleepy. I like to play on the over rushing yards. I could definitely see you betting both of these running backs to go over here. Although A.J. Dillon's the guy they're going to bring in to like ice the clock out if they need to. So I would lean under rushing yards for both Patriots running backs, and I would lean over rushing yards for both Packers running backs. On the same side, I would also say I really like Dillon and Aaron Jones head-to-head over Damian Harris. Damian Harris, look, I just traded for this guy in my Dynasty League because I literally have no running backs right now. So I think he's a good spot fill-in. Like, you could play him, you know, as your RB2 in a certain spot, whatever. But he's not playing that much. He's literally at like 35-40% maximum snap rate right now. Last week, they essentially gave like an almost borderline workhorse role to Ramondre Stevenson. And if the Packers come out and play even halfway decent on offense, their defense is going to do its thing. There's no way that Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon are not going to rush for more yards than Damian Harris unless the Packers defense just does not show up. So I know that David Montgomery had a pretty good game against the Packers defense a few weeks back, but they did a really good job on clamping down against Tampa Bay last week. I would rather look more towards that than the week before. So I just think that game script, quarterback situation, everything in between, you can bet at -115, Dillon -6.5 yards over Damian Harris, Aaron Jones -6.5 yards over Damian Harris. You can pay a little bit of juice on this if you want to bet the straight up money line here, but that's another head-to-head prop I really like, and I'll probably be looking very strongly at A.J. Dillon over rushing yards as well, and maybe even Aaron Jones on top of that. In addition to the Patriots running backs under. Now, on the flip side, last thing I'll say here, I don't expect the Packers to need to throw much in this game. And Romeo Doubs coming off a very good game. We talked about him a lot this season. I don't know if he's really going to need to do much here, man. And you're looking at the head-to-head matchups, Jacoby Myers, slot receiver, easy target for whatever quarterback's under center for New England. You can get Jacoby Myers right now at even money, +100, to have more receiving yards than Romeo Doubs. I don't know if this is going to be my official best bets card for the weekend, but game script wise, I don't see how Packers receivers need to get more volume than Patriots receivers in this offense. So Myers missed last weekend, but I think there's some good value on him. PPR formats to rack up a lot of targets, a lot of easy catches. He's going to be the only easy target for whatever quarterback's playing for the Patriots in this game. So that's the only other place I can look for this matchup here.
Yeah, I remember Steve had Romeo Doubs last week and he crushed it, so.
Yeah, that's a great call by Steve. Yeah, for sure.
You know, one of the things too, Chris, I thought that there was a point, maybe it was like week 1, week 2, to where I felt like, hey, maybe we could actually go ahead and play Patriots guys, because that's been difficult, you know, trying to do that with this team for, you know, a number of years. And now it's back to who the hell do you play on this team? You know, it's, they're just not good. I mean, they're simply just not that good. I actually think that the Patriots stand a good chance of getting blown out, which we don't see that often. But I think there's a chance that, you know, if Green Bay gets it going, that there's a chance that the Patriots could actually get smoked here.
Yeah, you know, so I just want to bring up something I actually just noticed because I'm kind of working my way down the board here. But Jacoby Myers is minus 150 to have more receptions than Romeo Doubs. Christian Watson's back this week, so he's going to play the deep threat role. Dobbs is, as much as he had a good game last week, his A-dot, his average at the target, was like 3 yards. Like, he was getting literally just fed the ball at the line of scrimmage. And if they're not going to need to throw much here, and if they blow out the Patriots, like a lot of us think probably will happen, the fact that the books are telling us, like, Jacoby's a big favorite to have more catches than Dobbs, he also is going to have a higher A-dot than Dobbs as well. Dobbs is not being used down the field. So the fact that we can actually get Jacoby plus 100 on the yards based off Dobbs' A-dot last week doesn't really make too much sense to me. I don't know why Dobbs is minus 130 on the yards and he's an underdog on the catches. So those two things line up to me. Like, if you're going to bet that head-to-head, you have to take Myers on the – even though Myers – you consider him like that slot guy that's going to rack up a lot of catches. Dobbs is essentially playing that same role for the Packers. So for me, I'm going to take Myers at even money as opposed to taking a minus 150 over the catches. I'd rather take him even money in the receiving yards over Dobbs. They're essentially playing the same role. Myers can get like double the volume in this game.
I don't have a problem with that, and here's why. Because Hoyer knows him. Out of all the other Patriots guys that are on that team, I mean, Hoyer probably knows Myers probably maybe better than most. I mean, he's been there, you know, longer than all those guys. Hoyer's been there forever. So I wouldn't be shocked if, like, that's, like, his number one target. So maybe we do that, you know, in a game where, you know, the Patriots might have to end up throwing the ball a ton. Maybe Hoyer does have some limited success in this game. And, you know, maybe he's just like, I'm just going to keep throwing it to the guy that I know where he's going to be and that I'm comfortable with. So not against that one at all. I do want to throw one more thing, too, real quick. I would strongly recommend teasing the Bears up right now. Like, I don't understand how the Giants are even favored in this game. Now, the Giants are minus 2.5, but if you guys are looking for a really good teaser option, I think teasing the Bears up in this game, getting them up to, you know, up to like 8.5, 9, 6, 6.5 point teaser, I think that's a really good wager, especially in a total, you know, that's 39.5 for that game. So look at teasing the Bears. I think that that's a pretty strong teaser leg. For this week. But that'll wrap it up, guys. Good stuff. Glad Chris is back. Everything's cool. He's safe. You guys know where to find us on Twitter at SleepyG_pregame, at Mad Journalist. You guys can always get us at thebettingpredators.com and on the best sports betting information site on the web, pregame.com. With that said, like, I wish you guys all the best of luck for NFL week number 4. Enjoy the game.